Hi, I'm Vanessa, and this is my podcast, A Journey with Vanessa Chu. Go ahead and hit the follow and subscribe button if you haven't done that yet. I would really appreciate it. If this is your first time listening to my show, I love talking about shifting your mindset for better emotional health, and it's where I share my personal stories and what I'm learning on my entrepreneurial journey, including the struggles and challenges I face. One thing I'm experiencing these days is imposter syndrome, and I've been reading a lot about it. So I wanted to bring on a very special guest for this episode to talk about imposter syndrome, Dr. Grace Lee. She is the founder of Mastery Insights. She hosts two podcasts. One is called Inciting Influence, and the other one is called Career Revisionist. She is also the creator of a practical business and career channel on YouTube. Dr. Grace is a sought-after speaker and trainer for sales, business development, career development, also public speaking, mindset, and neuroscience. Through her coaching firm, she is dedicated to enabling professionals to take their education, their expertise, and also their experiences to, one, turn it into a passion for profit online, or leverage it to create greater income and impact in a meaningful career path. Dr. Grace has trained hundreds of people from 10 plus countries all over the world. She uses her expertise from her PhD in neuroscience to teach her methods, and she empowers you to discover a different way of thinking so you can grow fast. I'm so grateful that I get to call her my business coach and mentor, and I'm honored that she's here today. Welcome, Dr. Grace. Thank you so much for being on my podcast and being my very first podcast guest.
It's my honor, Vanessa. Thank you so much for the introduction. I appreciate it.
So I wanted to invite you on my podcast to talk about imposter syndrome because ever since I started working with you, my mindset, you know, has been the toughest thing to handle and to manage. And I know we've talked about mindset a lot, and I know that you've also been where I am, starting out as an entrepreneur and kind of figuring out your way in your journey. And everyone that I've met so far who has their own business and who are on their own career path and, you know, starting something new and being an entrepreneur and figuring out that what that means, they go through imposter syndrome too. And now that I'm on my own entrepreneurial journey, I find myself so much more aware of those thoughts and, you know, the imposter syndrome and like, should I be doing this? Should I be here? What exactly is imposter syndrome? Like, how can we define it?
That's an excellent question, Vanessa. And you're absolutely right, because this whole process, anytime you transition to a new path, whether it is starting your own business or a different career path or a different company or a different industry, there's always going to be unknowns. There's always going to be unknowns when you try something new or doing something new. And so the unknowns bring with it a lot of anxieties, you know, a lot of concerns, a lot of perceived threats to our well-being. So the way that I would define imposter syndrome, first of all, the word syndrome in the medical field really refers to a collection of symptoms. You know, when we talk about syndromes, they are things that really require a lot of expertise to be able to diagnose properly. Mm-hmm. Because the patient is experiencing symptoms and they could be of varieties. And one patient could experience different set of symptoms compared to the other, or maybe one patient does not experience the whole gamut of symptoms compared to the other. So we call them syndromes because it's a collection and the doctor is diagnosing by really asking the patient, what do you feel? What are you experiencing? How long have you been experiencing it? And from their anecdotal evidence, then the doctor comes to a conclusion. So if you say imposter syndrome, then what is imposter syndrome? It is still a collection of symptoms. And there's a gamut of symptoms that people can experience when they have imposter syndrome. For example, nervousness, the heart racing, you know, sweaty palms. In some instances, your pupils are dilating, right? And there's a lot of anxiety when it comes to wanting to go down this path. And so the word imposter itself means to feel like you're in someone else's body, right? To feel like you are faking it, to feel like you are the message you're putting out there or the image that you're putting out there does not match what really is. And that's really the definition of imposter, right? So that's the classical definition, but I would say that the essence of what imposter syndrome is the absence of truth.
Mm.
is not knowing the truth of your value. It's not knowing the truth of who you are. It's not knowing the truth of what you have to bring to the table. And when we don't know those truths, we feel like an imposter, and that someday we're going to get called out and we're going to be figured out and discovered that we don't belong here, that we're not meant to be here, and that what all our dreams are, all of a sudden it feels like they're unachievable.
How does it really show up in our lives? Like, how do we know? And maybe for people who have never heard of imposter syndrome before, because I know I've spoken with people who haven't heard that phrase before and they don't know what it is, right? But maybe they've experienced it and they don't know. So what are some signs that we can be going through imposter syndrome in our own lives?
That's a really great question. And sometimes it's true, you don't know what you don't know, right? So of course, just like any syndrome in terms of diagnosis, right? It's like, maybe you don't check all the boxes.
Mm.
And I don't like to give people labels, right? I don't like to label individuals. But if you feel like, for example, doubtful of yourself, if you doubt your own abilities, if you doubt your education, if you are constantly looking at other people and saying that they have something superior, or they're superior, or I'm not like that, or if you constantly find yourself anxious that one day you're going to get called out, and that all of this is going to be taken away, right? Or if you constantly find this inner critic, this voice inside of you that constantly tells you, you can't do this. This is not you, right? This is not your life. It feels like it can't be achieved. Then chances are that there is a syndrome happening. Chances are that there's an absence of truth.
Why do we experience that? Like, why are we thinking that, like, oh, I can't do this and I shouldn't be here and I'm a fake? And I guess, how come some people experience it so strongly and some people it's just maybe not there or very minimal?
And that's really, really interesting, because it is true, isn't it? For every syndrome, you know, some people don't experience that at all. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a sliding spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's literally a sliding spectrum. And really, it all goes down to life experiences, right? All of our perspectives of ourselves, and really the essence of imposter syndrome is a perspective we have on ourselves.
Yeah.
If you have imposter syndrome, right, the worse you have it, it means you have a less and less perspective of yourself, mm-hmm. seeing yourself as less than, incapable, right? Or undeserving.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really depends on your experiences of life. Your experience in life and your experience of life really shape your perspectives. And it comes down to sometimes, you know, and again, if you're listening to this right now, I don't know what you have gone through earlier in life, but it comes down to sometimes an early childhood experience where that childhood experience, from a perspective of an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old or maybe a 5-year-old or maybe a 14-year-old, from that perspective, right, it really shapes the identity that you have of yourself. And it's really a subconscious experience.
Mm-hmm.
It could be one event that created it, that initiated it, but throughout the years, it is reinforced, sometimes by that individual or by that relationship, but it is also reinforced by ourselves. And what happens is that our brains are consistently looking for evidence to prove it right.
Yeah.
Consistently looking for evidence that, you know, I told you so, I knew it, right? And the reason why we do this is because there are cognitive biases. We believe, and subconsciously, that this is protective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's really a dangerous place to be. Mm-hmm. We believe that it's protective. We believe that it's preventative, prevent us from suffering the costs.
Mm-hmm. From failing and from,
exactly.
Yeah.
So when we believe that it's protective, when we believe that it's preventative, those beliefs are myths that keep us stuck mm-hmm. in that loop of imposter syndrome.
And we're going to hold on to those because we feel like those thoughts are doing us more good.
Correct.
At that point. Okay. So, cause you talked about being stuck, right? Like, what happens in our brain from your neuroscience background? What happens when we form those thoughts, and then why do they get stuck there? Because it ends up affecting our decision-making skills and our behavior and our actions and just everything, you know, down the line, the next steps that we take, right?
And that's really, really interesting, because I believe that in order to create a different outcome in life, there has to be a different way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because really, everything that we have right now in our life, our business, our career, our health, our finances, our relationships, everything we have right now in our life is created with the best thinking possible that we could have. Like, we wouldn't intentionally harm ourselves mm-hmm. and intentionally make poor decisions. So everything we have is with our best thinking. The question is, are we happy with it? Are we satisfied with it? Are we fulfilled? If not, then more of the current thinking will produce for us more of what we have.
Yeah.
Right. So then the question is, what's going on in our minds? Our mind is really that we don't know what we don't know. We only know what we know. Right. And sometimes that's the definition of subconscious, right? All of these thoughts are subconsciously happening. They're automatic. When we criticize ourselves, when we doubt ourselves, it's become automatic. It has been reinforced for years, sometimes even decades. So if that's an automatic response, our subconscious mind produces 99% of our results from the automatic mind, right? The conscious mind is what we're intentional about. Mm-hmm. If that's the minority of the results we produce is from the conscious mind, then the way to get around it is to change the subconscious thinking. And mm-hmm. that's really what's happening is our brains are automatically, right? It first becomes a thought, then the thought becomes what we believe.
It's interesting that, you know, imposter syndrome has some people experience, you know, that they feel like they're fakes, right? Like they don't belong somewhere or in a certain position or in their job, or because I've heard the phrase thrown around a lot, fake it till you make it. But then, so now I'm like, as an entrepreneur, I'm like, well, but doesn't that feed into imposter syndrome even more? And then our inner critics get let, like, and I wonder, but is there any merit to that? Or is it just like, you know, completely like, why would you fake it till you make it? Because maybe there are some people in this world who do fake it until they make it.
And I can appreciate that because that's like a buzz phrase out there, mm-hmm. right? And you see all these gurus with the fancy Ferraris and the private jets, and they were like, they say, I faked it till I made it. You got to fake, right? And then that's all it takes for people to wonder about that and try that, you know, only to find that it feels very inauthentic.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about that advice, fake it till you make it, right? That advice really takes some wisdom to understand what it really means. It really takes some wisdom to understand because in the essence of us as human beings, we don't like fakes. We don't like to be duped, mm-hmm. right? We don't like to be tricked into anything, and we don't want to be that person either. Like in essence, we don't want to be, we want to have genuine success. We don't want to, at the end of the day, on social media, look like we're living at large, having the life, when in reality, it's not like that. We don't want that at all. So then the wisdom we need to understand with that advice of fake it till you make it is not about being inauthentic. It's not about literally you just rent a Ferrari, pretend it's yours, and at the end of the day, you can't even afford a car. It's not about that. Mm-hmm. It is about having a vision of what you want to achieve and educating your expectations to achieve it, right? So for example, when you educate your expectation, what you're essentially doing is understanding what is within the realm of your possibilities right now. Mm-hmm. And how do you become the person and more of who you are so that the realm of your possibilities becomes greater and greater and greater with your growth. Mm-hmm. So the fake it part is not being inauthentic. The fake it part is really holding true to that vision and creating that reality, that lived reality in your mind first. Because when you do that, what happens is that there's a part of your brain called the reticular activating system. It's in your brainstem, which is like below your skull, the back of the skull. And that system acts like a filter. When you imagine it, when you envision it, and you hold true to that vision, then what happens is that your brain cannot tell the difference between what's real and what's imagined. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the doubt turns into faith. The doubt that you had that creates imposter syndrome, that creates the feelings of anxiety, turns into faith because it's a lived response. And then your reality and your becoming will catch up to that imagined reality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? But the wisdom here is that you have to be realistic in your expectations. You're educating what's possible for you.
Yeah.
So for example, if I'm currently working in a 9-to-5 job at minimum wage, I'm not going to imagine living in a $10 million mansion. I might imagine I might imagine moving away from a 9-to-5 and having a side hustle. I might imagine making my first $5,000 a month. And that is educating your expectations. Right. But again, it's not about fake. It is really about the imagination and the virtual, the inner mind living of that reality.
Yeah. Yeah. And the visualization. I know we've talked about that a lot as well. Visualization. Yeah. So going back to imposter syndrome, if it's a way of thinking, you know, and how some things that are based in our childhood experiences that we've been thinking for, you know, years and years, and we want to get out of that thinking, how do we change that? Like, how do we work with our brains to bring about changes in a positive way for ourselves?
And I love what you said there. How do we work with our brains? I love what you said there, because I think what's really absent, you know, in terms of the way we operate, the way that we manage ourselves and our emotions, what's really absent is really understanding the way our brains work, why we do what we do, why we make certain decisions, why we avoid certain decisions, why we procrastinate, why we fear certain things. All of that knowledge is absent within our own minds. And our minds are powerful beyond our own imagination. So if that's true, then wouldn't it make sense to understand the way our brains work? Right. So I would say the first thing, if the myth of the belief that this is protective, that this is prudent for us to have imposter syndrome, we have those beliefs and that's the limiting belief, then it would make sense that the first thing is to ask ourselves to challenge those beliefs. Is that really true? Am I really being prudent here by doubting myself? Am I really being prudent here by asking all the what if questions, ruminating on the possible failures? Is that really being prudent? Right? Is it really being protective? Is it really preventing something? Is it preventing a failure or is it preventing me from success? Right? So then really, when we believe certain things, the more we are one-sided about those beliefs, the more that those beliefs are in alignment with what we've always done, then the more we will always produce what we already have. Right? So that's always the first step is, How do I need to believe differently? Because really, success, the income you want to create, the impact you want to create is not about the economy. It's about your personal philosophy. And your beliefs shape that philosophy. Because your philosophy is like the sails to the sailboat. Right? The winds are always going to be blowing.
Yeah.
But how are you going to adjust your sails?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the first thing is the beliefs.
Yeah. Because I know we've talked about faith and doubt and how both of those things are a belief. Like you doubting yourself or you have faith in yourself, right?
Absolutely.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about imposter syndrome that we haven't touched on today that you are feeling inspired to talk about?
Oh, absolutely. There is one thing. I'm so glad that you asked, Vanessa. It's interesting. I've noticed after having been a coach for 10 years, I've noticed that people are sometimes can tend to wear imposter syndrome like a badge of honor, right? They wear, and it becomes their identity, right? I have imposter syndrome, right? It must be this imposter syndrome thing. And it becomes a topic that they share on social media. And it's like a badge of honor in some way. And the thing about making it a part of your identity is that when it becomes a part of your identity, you can't do anything else. Right, sort of like smoking and non-smoking. If one of the biggest reasons why smoking is really hard to quit, of course, nicotine is addictive. But the mental aspect of it, the mindset aspect of it is the reason why cigarettes are so hard to quit. And it's not just because nicotine is addictive, but it's because of the identity behind it. The identity of I'm a smoker. And so when you identify as a smoker, then that's when you start counting the days of how many days went by, you know, before you lit your cigarette. And it becomes a challenge because then you have to count, right? Oh, I've 7 days in and I didn't light up. 30 days went past and I didn't light up. However, if for anyone who identifies as a non-smoker, they never count those days.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it's an identity. So same thing with imposter syndrome. If it's an identity and in some ways, an identity is something we wear with a badge of honor. Whether or not it truly is honorable, that's a different question.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But mm-hmm. we wear it like it's a badge of honor.
And it's just part of us. We think it's just part of us.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. So the identity piece is what most people don't talk about when it comes to imposter syndrome. We love to talk about all the symptoms and the suffering that comes along with imposter syndrome. We love to talk about, if we're bold enough, we love to talk about how it's held us back from the life we want.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about the identity piece.
Yeah.
And that's the most important piece.
Because I feel like, you know, just brainstorming and researching on this topic, yeah, there's a lot on the symptoms, right? And how we experience it. But then I've also been doing a lot of work around, you know, journaling and reflecting and meditating on my inner critic. And I was like, well, this totally plays into imposter syndrome, right? Because my inner critic is, although it can be trying to protect me at times, I do feel like it's sometimes holding me back and it's being discouraging, because it's like, well, are you sure you have enough to say about that? Or are you sure that's, you can share a message about that? And that's where it becomes a real challenge. It's just working through that. And then it's just me thinking, oh, I feel like my inner critic is definitely feeding into that imposter syndrome and the symptoms that we talked about earlier as well.
And, you know, and that's really wonderful that you have the courage to share that, right? To be transparent about that and say, you know what, this is what I'm challenged with. And here's the thing, that voice is not yours. For any one of us listening to this right now, and you're thinking, I have those voices too, right? I have that voice of condemnation, is not our own voice. So then the question is, whose is it? But only you can answer that question. Whose is it?
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a person from your past or your distant or recent past that you can actually identify. It could be, mm-hmm. or it may not be someone you can identify. It could be an entity. It could be messaging, subliminal messaging. It could be from media. It could be from entities that you have interacted with. It could be at least a group of people you admired.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the thing is, with that voice, if it's not your voice, then wouldn't it be prudent, truly prudent now to figure out what is my true authentic voice and what is it really saying to me?
Lots more to reflect on after our conversation. As I always have a lot to write and reflect on after we speak about so many things, because I feel like, because you've gone through so many of the things that I'm going through, it's nice to know that you can be on the other side of that, you know, and that it's possible to visualize and get on the other side of all that doubt and the fear and the anxiety and the worries that I have now.
It is possible. I'll share it with you. I'd love to share with you something that my mentor shared with me. And here's what he said. He said that the first step is we get in alignment with our life's purpose. Mm-hmm. Through you, Vanessa, your purpose is clearly, as a coach, you're going to change lives. You're going to help people with their mindset. You're going to help people with their griefs, their losses. That's your life purpose. So that is your anointing. We have an anointing, but we want to get to the appointing,
mm-hmm.
right? We'll get to the appointing. But then the way that life in the universe works is that there's a distance between the appointing and the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get to the result, which is the anointing of the wealth, the anointing of the abundance, right? Mm-hmm. But there's always a distance between the time between the anointing and the appointing. And that time is the time for discovery.
Yeah.
Right. And in that time for discovery, there's a lot of disappointment. But the reason why the disappointment is there is because it helps us to become the person.
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose of that disappointment. So that's why persistence and consistency is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because the journey has disappointment. But you get to your anointing through the disappointment.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, and nobody knows what the time is between the anointing and the appointing. But the time doesn't matter. Just know that the appointing is on the other side.
Yeah, having that faith, definitely consistently having that faith that the steps that I'm taking with everything that I'm learning is one little step closer to where I need to be and who I need to be as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you very much for coming onto my podcast, Dr. Grace. We could talk for hours and hours about mindset and about just everything and your journey and your career and everything. And I'm so appreciative for all your knowledge and your insight on everything and just being so open and honest with your answers and just sharing everything that you know with me and with everyone else who is listening. My guest today was Dr. Grace Lee. And before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you how people can find you online to learn more about what you do.
Oh, that's an excellent question. I appreciate that. The best way is to actually find me on Instagram at Dr. Grace Lee.
Awesome. And is there anything that you're currently working on that you'd like to share with us?
Yes, absolutely. We talk about imposter syndrome. And the other side of that is really finding our own voice. Mm-hmm. Getting our own message out there. So right now, I'm really passionate about helping people find their own voice on YouTube, right? And YouTube is really a great platform. And if we want to find our own voice and we want to make an impact, we have to have a platform and we create a path for people to have their lives changed through us and through our knowledge and our wisdom. So YouTube is the platform to be searchable, to be discovered for what you do. And so I am passionate about helping individuals to have that channel and that platform to be able to create that path for clients or for the audience they want to influence, right? And so if you want to learn more about that, it's at tubecelebrity.com.
Awesome. Tubecelebrity.com. And also her Instagram again, at Dr. Grace Lee. She provides so much knowledge and insight, and I'm always learning something from her.
My mistake is Tube Celebrity Codex.
Codex. Right. TubeCelebrityCodex.com. Again, thank you so much for your time. I'm so grateful for your guidance and your knowledge and everything, and for coming onto my podcast today.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
For more on Dr. Grace Lee, plus her contact info and social media handles, check out the show notes. Thank you for listening to this episode. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything you've heard, or if you have a topic idea you'd like me to cover, my email address is hello@VanessaChiu.com.